Random House Audiobooks presents How to Know God by Deepak Chopra. Read for you by the author.
How to Know God, The Soul's Journey into the Mystery of Mysteries. God has managed the amazing feat of being worshipped and invisible at the same time. Although it doesn't seem possible to offer a single fact about the Almighty that would hold up in a court of law, somehow the vast majority of people believe in God, as many as 96%, according to some polls. This reveals a huge gap between belief and what we call everyday reality. We need to heal this gap. What would the facts be like if we had them? They would be as follows. Everything that we experience as material reality is born in an invisible realm beyond space and time, a realm revealed by science to consist of energy and information. Something turns this chaos of quantum soup into stars, galaxies, rainforests, human beings, and our own thoughts. We will see that it is not only possible to know this source of existence, but to become intimate with it and at one with it. When this happens, we will have the experience of God. After centuries of knowing God through faith, we are now ready to understand divine intelligence directly. In many ways, this new knowledge reinforces what spiritual traditions have already promised. God is invisible and yet performs all miracles. God is the source of every impulse of love. Beauty and truth are both children of this God. In the absence of knowing the infinite source of energy and creativity, life's miseries come into being. Getting close to God through a true knowing heals the fear of death, confirms the existence of the soul, and gives ultimate meaning to life. Our whole notion of reality has actually been topsy-turvy. Instead of God being a vast imaginary projection, he turns out to be the only thing that is real, and the whole universe, despite its immensity and solidity, is a projection of God's nature. Those astonishing events we call miracles give us clues to the workings of this ineffable intelligence. We all know that a person can learn about life without religion. If I took 100 newborn babies and filmed every moment of their lives from beginning to end, it wouldn't be possible to predict that the believers in God will turn out happier, wiser, or more successful than the non-believers. Yet the video camera cannot record what is happening below the surface. Is this experience real? From the very beginning of religion in the West, it was obvious that God had some kind of presence, known in Hebrew as Shekhinah. Shekhinah formed the halos around angels and the luminous joy in the face of a saint. If God has a presence, that means he can be experienced. This is a huge point, because in every other way, God is invisible and untouchable. We personify God as a convenient way of making him more like ourselves. However, what could possibly give us confidence in any kind of benevolent spiritual being when thousands of years of religion have been so stained by bloodshed? We need a model that is both part of religion, yet not bounded by it. Shaped like a reality sandwich, the following three-part scheme fits our common-sense view of God. God, transition zone, material world. Only the middle part of our scheme, called the transition zone, is new. A transition zone implies that God and humans meet on common ground. Somewhere, miracles take place, along with holy visions, angels, enlightenment, and hearing the voice of God. Materialist arguments against God remain powerful, because they are based on facts, but they fall apart once you dive deeper than the material world. Dame Julian of Norwich lived in England in the 14th century. Dame Julian asked God directly why he had created the world. The answer came back to her in ecstatic whispers. "You want to know your Lord's meaning in what I have done? Know it well. Love was his meaning. Who reveals it to you? Love. What did he reveal to you? Love. Why does he reveal it to you? For love." For Dame Julian, God was something to eat, drink, breathe, and see everywhere, as though she were an infatuated lover. Yet since the divine was her lover, she was elevated to cosmic heights, where the whole universe was a little thing, the size of a hazelnut, lying in the palm of my hand. When saints go almost mad with rapture, we find their expressions both baffling and yet very understandable. Although we have all gotten used to the absence of the sacred, we appreciate that journeys into the transition zone, the layer closer to God, continue to happen. I don't believe saints and mystics are really so different from other human beings. God's presence, his light, becomes real if we can translate it into a response of the brain, which I call the God response. Holy visions and revelations fall into 7 definite responses of the brain that give rise to beliefs. They bridge from our world to an invisible domain where matter dissolves and spirit emerges. 1. Fight or flight response. The response that enables us to survive in the face of danger. This response is linked to a God who wants to protect us. We turn to this God because we need to survive. 2. Reactive response. This is the brain's creation of a personal identity. From this response, a new God emerges, one who has power and might, laws and rules. We turn to this God because we need to achieve, accomplish, and compete. 3. Restful awareness response. This is the brain's response when it wants peace. The divine equivalent is a God who brings peace. We turn to this God because we need to feel that the outer world isn't going to swallow us up in its endless turmoil. 4. Intuitive response. We rely on our ability to know ourselves from the inside out. The God that matches this response is understanding and forgiving. We need him to validate that our inner world is good. 5. Creative response. The human brain can invent new things and discover new facts. We call this inspiration, and its mirror is a creator who made the whole world from nothing. We turn to him out of our wonder at the beauty and formal complexity of nature. 6. Visionary response. The brain can directly contact the light, a form of pure awareness that feels joyful and blessed. The God that matches it is exalted. We need such a God to explain why magic can exist side by side with ordinary, mundane reality. 7. Sacred response. The brain was born from a single fertilized cell that had no brain functions in it, only a speck of life. To match it, there is a God of pure being, one who doesn't think, but just is. Without him as a source, our existence has no foundation at all. These 7 responses, all very real and useful to us in our long journey as a species, form the unshakable basis of religion. No one can shoehorn God into a single box. We must have a range of vision as vast as human experience itself. A subtle give and take is going on at the deepest level between a parent and child. In the same way, God seems to grow directly out of our deepest inner values. Peel away all the layers of a human being, and at the center, you will find the seed of God. I believe that God has to be known by looking in the mirror. Although everyone's brain can create countless thoughts, just to take a number, at 10 thoughts a minute, a single brain would conjure up more than 14,000 thoughts a day, 5 million a year, and 350 million in a lifetime. To preserve our sanity, the gross majority of these thoughts are repetitions of past thoughts, mere echoes. The brain is economical in how it produces a thought. Instead of having millions of ways, it has only a limited number. Physicists like to say that the universe is really just quantum soup, bombarding our senses with billions of bits of data every minute. This swirling chaos must also be organized into a manageable number. So the brain, with its seven basic responses, provides more than sanity and meaning. It provides a whole world. Presiding over this self-created world is a God who embraces everything, but who must also fit into the brain's way of working. In one way or another, when a person says the word God, he's pointing to a specific response from this list. Any God who protects us like a father or mother stems from fight or flight. Any God who makes laws and rules over society stems from the reactive response. Any God who brings inner peace stems from the restful awareness response. Any God who encourages human beings to reach their full potential stems from the intuitive response. Any God who inspires us to explore and discover stems from the creative response. Any God who makes miracles stems from the visionary response. Any God who brings us back into unity with Him stems from the sacred response. As far as I know, the brain cannot register a deity outside the seven responses. Why not? Because God is woven into reality, and the brain knows reality in these limited ways. It may sound as though we are reducing the mystery of mysteries to a firestorm of electrical activity in the cerebral cortex. But we aren't doing that. We are trying to find the basic facts that will make God possible, real, and useful. Many people will be sympathetic to this because they long for a God who fits into their lives. No one can make God enter the everyday world, however. The real question is whether He might be here already and going unnoticed. I keep coming back to the transition zone in our reality sandwich. Unless you are willing to take your vision there, the presence of God is too ghostly to be relied on. Is the brain prepared for such a journey? Absolutely. Can we truly satisfy the demands of objectivity when it comes to God? A physicist would recognize our reality sandwich with no difficulty. The material world has long since dissolved for the great quantum thinkers. After Einstein made time and space into fluid things that merge into each other, the traditional universe couldn't hold up. In the reality sandwich of physics, there are also three levels. Material reality, the world of objects and events. Quantum reality, or the quantum domain, a transition zone where energy turns into matter. Virtual reality, or virtual domain, the place beyond time and space, the origin of the universe. It isn't just coincidence that these three layers parallel the religious worldview. The two models have to parallel each other because they are both delineated by the brain. Science and religion are not really opposites, but just very different ways of trying to decode the universe. Mystics journey into the transition zone closer to God, and while we might visit there for a few moments of joy, they have found the secret of remaining there far longer. Instead of wondering about the mystery of life, a saint lives it. Yet even without adequate words to explain that experience, we find certain similarities from culture to culture. The body's heaviness becoming as if weightless. A sense of floating or looking down from above is felt. Breathing becomes lighter, rarefied, more even. Physical pain or discomfort is much lessened. A sense of energy streams through the body. Color and sound are heightened. Increased sensitivity to all scents. A common phrase for this sensation, which one hears over and over, is going into the light. It's a phenomenon not limited to saints. Some or all of these bodily changes occur to common people. Existence breaks through its drab routine with a surge of bliss and purity. Some mystics describe these moments as timeless. But what if we could steady our flash of ecstasy and learn to explore this strange new territory? The sacred isn't a feeling, it is a place. The problem is that when you try to journey there, material reality keeps pulling you back again. Let me bring these abstract terms down to earth. Some of the following experiences have occurred to all of us. In the midst of danger, you feel suddenly cared for and protected. You deeply fear a crisis in your personal life, but when it comes, you experience a sudden calmness. A stranger makes you feel a sudden rush of love. An infant or young child looks into your eyes, and for a second, you believe that an old soul is looking at you. Looking at the sky, you have a sense of infinite space. Whenever you have any such experiences, your brain has responded in an unusual way. It has responded to God. If he only knew it, God's most cherished secrets are hidden inside the human skull. Ecstasy, eternal love, grace, and mystery. To find a window to God, you have to realize that your brain is layered into regions that are ruled by different impulses. The new kingdoms are full of higher thought, poetry, and love. The old kingdoms are more primordial, ruled by instinct, power, and survival. In the old kingdoms, each of us is a hunter. The oldest hunter lurking in our brains is after bigger prey, God himself. And the motive isn't to fight or die, but to find our speck of joy and truth that nothing in the world can erase. The one thing we cannot survive is chaos. We evolved to find God. God for us is not a choice, but a necessity. Your brain is hardwired to find God. Until you do, you will not know who you are. However, our brains don't lead us automatically to spirit. Seeking has always been necessary. Unable to take in the totality of God, we get hints from the brain. To return to a few of those simple examples I gave, in the midst of danger, you feel suddenly cared for and protected. Spirit is being revealed through fight or flight. You deeply fear a crisis in your personal life, but when it comes, you experience a sudden calmness. Spirit is being revealed through restful awareness. A stranger makes you feel a sudden rush of love. Spirit is being revealed through the visionary response. An infant or young child looks into your eyes, and for a second you believe that an old soul is looking at you. Spirit is being revealed through intuition. Looking at the sky, you have a sense of infinite space. Spirit is being revealed through unity. It is typical of modern life to believe that nature is set up to be random and chaotic. This is far from true. Life looks meaningless when you have worn out old responses, old realities, and an old version of God. To bring God back, we have to follow new, even strange responses wherever they lead us. As one spiritual teacher wisely put it, the material world is infinite, but it is a boring infinity. The really interesting infinity lies beyond. God is another name for infinite intelligence. To achieve anything in life, a piece of this intelligence must be contacted and used. In other words, God is always there for you. The seven responses of the human brain are avenues to attain some aspect of God. Each level of fulfillment proves God's reality at that level. Level 1, fight or flight response. You fulfill your life through family, community, a sense of belonging, and material comforts. Level 2, reactive response. You fulfill your life through success, power, influence, status, and other ego satisfactions. Level 3, restful awareness response. You fulfill your life through peace, centeredness, self-acceptance, and inner silence. Level 4, intuitive response. You fulfill your life through insight, empathy, tolerance, and forgiveness. Level 5, creative response. You fulfill your life through inspiration, expanded creativity in art or science, and unlimited discovery. Level 6, visionary response. You fulfill your life through reverence, compassion, devoted service, and universal love. Level 7, sacred response. You fulfill your life through wholeness and unity with the divine. It is very important to absorb the notion that spirit involves a constant process. It isn't a feeling, nor is it a thing you can hold and measure. A striking example that there is a reachable place beyond material reality is prayer. Beginning more than 20 years ago, researchers devised experiments to try to verify whether prayer had any efficacy. They found that surgical patients' recovery could be from 50 to 100% better if someone prayed for them. The result was all the more astonishing when it was discovered that the person doing the praying didn't have to know the patient personally or even know their names. The phenomenon of prayer gained a sudden new popularity, yet the essential point is often missed. Prayer is a journey in consciousness. It takes you to a place different from ordinary thought. The patient and you are joined in a place where the boundaries of the body no longer count. Your intention to make her well has an effect across the space-time boundary. Prayer is a quantum event carried out in the brain. Of all the clues God left for us to find, the greatest is the light, the Shekhinah. From that clue, we can unfold a true picture of the deity. This is a bold claim, but it is corroborated by the fact that science, our most credible modern religion, also traces creation back to light. In this century, Einstein and the other pioneers of quantum physics broke through the barrier of material reality to a new world, and in their awe, most had a mystical experience. They sensed that when light gave up its mysteries, God's light would be known. Our vision can't help but be organized around light. The same brain responses that enable you to see a tree as a tree instead of a ghostly swarm of buzzing atoms also enable you to experience God. They reach far beyond organized religion, but we can take any passage from world scripture and decode it through the brain. It is the mechanism that makes the scripture real to us. Our brains respond on the same seven levels that apply to our experience. A level of danger, threat, and survival. a level of striving, competition, and power, a level of peace, calm, and reflection, a level of insight, understanding, and forgiveness, a level of aspiration, creativity, and discovery, a level of reverence, compassion, and love, a level of unbounded unity. Every Bible story teaches something at one or more of these levels, as do all world scriptures. And in every instance, the teaching is attributed to God. Your brain and the deity are thus fused in order for the world to make sense. If you believe in a punishing, vengeful God, clearly related to fight or flight, you won't see the reality of the Buddha's teaching of Nirvana. If you believe in the God of love envisioned by Jesus, rooted in the visionary response, you will not see the reality of the Greek myth, wherein Saturn, primal father of the gods, ate all his children. Every version of God is part mask, part reality. The infinite can only reveal a portion of itself at any one time. The most startling conclusion of our new model is that God is as we are. The whole universe is as we are, because without the human mind, there would only be quantum soup, billions of random sensory impressions. Yet, thanks to the mind-brain, we recognize that encoded into the swirling cosmos are the most valued things in existence: form, meaning, beauty, truth, love. These are the realities the brain is reaching for when it reaches for God. He's as real as they are, but just as elusive. A miracle is a display of power from beyond the five senses. Although all miracles take place in the transition zone, they differ from level to level. Level 1, fight or flight response. Miracles involve surviving great danger, impossible rescues, a sense of divine protection. Example, a mother who runs into a burning house to rescue her child, or lifts a car with a child trapped underneath. Level 2, reactive response. Miracles involve incredible achievements and success, control over the body or mind. Example, child prodigies with inexplicable gifts in music or mathematics. The rise of a Napoleon from humble beginnings to immense power. Level 3, restful awareness response. Miracles involve synchronicity, yogic powers, premonitions, feeling the presence of God or angels. Example, yogis who can change body temperature at will, being visited by someone from far away who has just died, visitation by a guardian angel. Level 4, intuitive response. Miracles involve telepathy, ESP, prophetic powers. Example, reading someone else's thoughts or aura, psychic predictions, astral projection to other places. Level 5, creative response. Miracles involve divine inspiration, artistic genius, spontaneous fulfillment of desires. Example, the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, having a thought that suddenly manifests, Einstein's insights into time and relativity. Level 6, visionary response. Miracles involve healing, physical transformations, holy apparitions, highest degree of supernatural feats. Example, walking on water, healing incurable diseases by touch, direct revelation from the Virgin Mary. Level 7, sacred response. Miracles involve inner evidence of enlightenment. Example, lives of the great prophets and teachers, Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu. I'm not imagining that every skeptic and atheist listening to this program has suddenly jumped to his feet proclaiming that God is real. This will have to go by stages. But at least now we can explain those mysterious journeys that mystics have taken into God's reality. I will ask another question. How does extreme torment, which provides every reason to abandon faith, turn into absolute faith instead? What a profound miracle the human brain actually is. It has the capacity to see spiritual reality under any circumstance. It is clear, despite the turmoil that makes belief in God harder than ever, that every level of revelation still exists. Redemption is just another word for calling on your innate ability to see with the eye of the soul. Two voices are heard in our heads every day, the one believing in the dark and the other in the light. Only one reality can be really real. Our new model, the reality sandwich, solves this riddle. In the transition zone where transformation occurs, here where the material world transforms from dense matter into invisible energy, the mind gets transformed as well. So now we have the outline for the entire spiritual journey in our hands. The unfolding of God is a process made possible by the brain's ability to unfold its own potential. Inherent in each of us is wonder, love, transformation, and miracles. Not just because we crave these things, but because they are our birthright. Our neurons have evolved to make these aspirations real. From the womb of the brain springs a new and useful God. Or to be precise, seven variations of God, which leave a train of clues for us to follow every day. If asked, why should we strive to know God? My answer would be selfish. I want to be a creator. This is the ultimate promise of spirituality, that you can become the author of your own existence, the maker of personal destiny. Your brain is already performing this service for you unconsciously. In the quantum domain, your brain chooses the response that is appropriate at any given moment. The universe is an overwhelming chaos. It must be interpreted to make sense. It must be decoded. The brain, therefore, can't take reality as it is given. One of the seven responses has to be selected, and the quantum realm is where this decision is made. To know God, you must consciously participate in making this journey. That is the purpose of free will. On the surface of life, we make much more trivial choices, but pretend that they carry enormous weight. In reality, you're constantly acting out seven fundamental choices about the kind of world you recognize. The choice of fear if you want to struggle and barely survive. The choice of power if you want to compete and achieve. The choice of inner reflection if you want peace. The choice to know yourself if you want insight. The choice to create if you want to discover the workings of nature. The choice to love if you want to heal others and yourself. The choice to be if you want to appreciate the infinite scope of God's creation. I am not arranging these from bad to good, better to best. You are capable of all these choices. They are hardwired into you. For many people, some part of their brains is dormant, and therefore their view of spirit is extremely limited. It is no wonder that finding God is called awakening. A fully awakened brain is the secret to knowing God. In the end, the seventh level is the goal, the one where pure being allows us to revel in the infinite creation of God. This is the place which is both the beginning and end of a process that is God. Here certainty can replace doubt, and as the inspired French writer Simone Weil once wrote about the spiritual quest, only certainty will do. Anything less than certainty is unworthy of God. Mystery of Mysteries. this is the work of the soul that most pleases God. From the cloud of unknowing. The mystery of God wouldn't exist if the world wasn't also a mystery. Some scientists believe we are closer than ever to a theory of everything, or TOE, T-O-E, as the physicists dub it. The theory of everything will explain the beginning of the universe and the end of time. Is there a place for God in this everything, or does the Creator get booted out of his own creation? Anyone could be forgiven for thinking that God is nowhere to be found here, that all the wonders of the sacred world will become mundane. For centuries, the sacred was real, a source of supreme power. Today, what do we see instead? A society that strip mines old myths to build a city like Las Vegas. If you want to meet myth here, you check into a hotel casino called Excalibur. In a mythless world, something is missing. But do we know what it is? No one can stand before the Great Pyramid of Cheops without feeling the presence of a power that is absent even in the hugest skyscraper. From time immemorial, humans have worried over the same questions. Do I have a soul? Is there an afterlife? And will I meet God when I get there? The Great Pyramid was an answer. Now tell me I'm not immortal. For a harsh contrast, go back to Las Vegas. Does a world without spiritual power force us to seek distraction because underneath we do not know the answers at all? The theory of everything will be useless, if not destructive, unless we can use it to keep the sacred alive. Fortunately, the most solid, reliable things in existence, a seashell, a pothole in the middle of the road, partake of God's mystery. If you believe in a rock, you are automatically believing in God. The material world is full of familiar objects that we can see, feel, touch, taste and smell. As big objects become very small, shrinking to the size of atoms, our senses fail us. An amazing transformation happens beyond the atom. Everything solid disappears. Atoms are composed of vibrating energy packets that have no solidity at all, no mass or size. The Latin word for a packet or package is quantum, the word chosen to describe one unit of energy inside the atom, and as it turned out, a new level of reality. It is strange to hold up your hand and realize that it is actually at a deeper level, invisible vibrations taking place in a void. At the atomic level, all objects are revealed as 99.9999% empty space. Electrons break down into energy vibrations that wink in and out of existence millions of times per second. Therefore, the whole universe is a quantum mirage, winking in and out of existence millions of times per second. Quantum flashes are millions of times too rapid for us to register, so our brains play a trick on us by seeing solid objects that are continuous in time and space. You and I exist as flashing photons with a black void in between each flash. The quantum light show comprises our whole body, our every thought and wish, and every event that we take part in. In other words, we are being created over and over again all the time. Genesis is now and always has been. Who is capable of taking the universe away and putting it back again in a fraction of a second? The power of creation, whatever it turns out to be, lies even beyond energy. A force with the ability to turn gaseous clouds of dust into stars and eventually into DNA. In the terminology of physics, we refer to this pre-quantum level as virtual. When you go beyond all energy, there is nothing, a void. visible light becomes virtual light. Real space becomes virtual space. Real time becomes virtual time. In the process, all properties vanish. Light no longer shines. Space covers no distance. Time is eternal. This is the womb of creation, infinitely dynamic and alive. Words like empty, dark, and cold do not apply. The virtual domain is so inconceivable that only religious language seems to touch it at all. In modern terms, God can only be found in a virtual state, where all energy is stored before creation. Physics has struggled hard with the state that comes before time and space, and so has popular imagination. It may surprise many to learn that the familiar image of God as a patriarch in a white robe seated on his throne has little authority, even in Judaic scripture. The image appears only once in the book of Daniel, whereas we are told many times in the books of Moses that God is without human form. The best working theory about creation reads as follows. Before the Big Bang, space was unbounded, expanded like an accordion into infinite pleats or dimensions, while time existed in seed form, an eternal presence without events, and therefore needing no past, present, or future. This state was utterly void in one sense and utterly full in another. It contained nothing we could possibly perceive, yet the potential for everything resided here. As the Vedic seers declared, neither existence nor non-existence could be found, since those terms apply only to things that have a beginning, middle, and end. Physicists often refer to this state as a singularity. Space, time, and the entire material universe were once contained in a point. Now, if you can imagine that the cosmos exploded into being in a dazzling flash of light from this one point, you must then go a step further. Because the pre-creation state has no time. It is still here. The Big Bang has never happened in the virtual domain. And yet, paradoxically, all Big Bangs have happened. No matter how many times the universe expands across billions of light years, only to collapse back onto itself and withdraw back into the void, nothing will change at the virtual level. This is as close as physics has come to the religious notion of a God who is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Omni means all, and the virtual state, since it has no boundaries of any kind, is properly called the All. In India, seers often referred to it simply as That, or Tat in Sanskrit. At the moment of enlightenment, a person is able to go past the five senses to perceive the only truth that can be uttered. I am that, you are that, and all this is that. The meaning isn't a riddle. It simply states that behind the veil of creation, the pre-creation state still exists, enclosing everything. A physicist friend once stated, "You must realize, Deepak, that time is just a cosmic convenience that keeps everything from happening all at once. This convenience is needed at the material level, but not at deeper levels. Therefore, if you could see yourself in your virtual state, all the chaos and swirling galaxies would make perfect sense. The whole cosmos has conspired to create you and me sitting here this very second." Nothing is more fascinating than to watch science blurring its edges into spirit. Miracles indicate that reality doesn't begin and end at the material level. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says that his role in life is to point the disciples away from the rule of the five senses, which are totally confined to space-time. To quote, I shall give you what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no hand has touched, and what has never occurred to the human mind. In the blurring of the quantum and the miraculous, a single reality is beginning to emerge. Here, a famous remark by Einstein, quote, "I want to know how God thinks. Everything else is a detail," end quote. Because he was a rare visionary, I hope that Einstein would accept as a start the following map of how God thinks. Virtual domain equals the field of spirit. Quantum domain equals the field of mind. Material reality equals the field of physical existence. If you feel secure with these terms, you can clear up mystery after mystery. Let me give an example. Some decades ago, an Italian army officer was taken to the Shrine of Lourdes. He was suffering from bone cancer in its most advanced metastasized stage. One hip joint had all but dissolved. The officer took the holy waters along with thousands of other pilgrims who flocked to the site. Over the next few months, his cancer was miraculously healed. This did not just entail the malignancy disappearing, his entire hip joint regrew. Medical science has no explanation for such a thing, and the Italian military officer became one of the authenticated healings attributed to the Virgin Mary at Lourdes. I believe around 70 of these have been scientifically verified. If we refer to our model, this healing involves a unique event. All three levels of reality were in communication. The soldier's body and his cancer were on the material level. His prayers were on the quantum level. God's intervention came from the virtual level. In one sense, this seems to make a miracle seem very clinical. But in another sense, it makes everything a miracle. Stars, mountains, monarch butterflies, and a single skin cell all depend on the same open lines of communication. A real theory of everything would instruct us in the art of living on all three levels of reality with equal power and security. Saints strive to get to that point. It is the true meaning of enlightenment. Religious trappings offend many rigorous scientists, but do we have to have any? I remember as a young doctor reading about a patient suffering from terminal cancer who was cured literally by an injection of saline, ordinary salt water. He had entered the hospital, his body completely disfigured by swollen malignant lymph nodes. This was in the 50s, when medicine was riding a crest of optimism about finding a cure for cancer very quickly. This man was desperate to be given the latest wonder treatment, known as cryobiosyn. His doctor despaired of wasting the drug on someone who would probably be dead before the week was out. But out of pity, he arranged for a single dose of cryobiosyn and injected it on a Friday. On Monday morning, the patient was jubilant. Every trace of cancer had vanished. His lymph nodes had returned to normal, and he felt completely well. Stunned, his doctor released him as cured, knowing full well that a single dose of cryobiosyn could not possibly have made a difference over a few days. After some time, the patient read in the newspaper that testing on cryobiosyn had proved ineffective. Within a matter of days, his cancer returned, and once again he entered the hospital in a terminal state. His doctor had nothing to give him, so he told the man that he would be injected with the, quote, "new improved cryobiosyn," while in reality giving him nothing but saline solution. Again, the man was healed in a matter of days. For the second time, he left without evidence of cancer in his body. The story doesn't have a happy ending, because when he later discovered that all hope for cryobiosyn was abandoned, he contracted lymph cancer for the third time, and this time he died rapidly. But the essence of the story is this. Spirit acts by flowing from the virtual to the quantum to the material level. This is what all miracles have in common, whether they occur with religious trappings or not. Faith in God is a way of opening the lines of communication beyond the material. So is prayer or hope. If there is ever going to be a science of miracles, it begins with intangibles that are rooted in spirit.